In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the New York Knicks hiring Tom Thibodeau and then catching up on all the news across the NBA from the scrimmages in Orlando to get you ready for the beginning of the NBA restart season. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. You can also catch me over at Fade the Noise as well, ftndaily.com. Today's episode also brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Now, the NBA season, we're almost ready to go. We're a couple of days away, so what I thought I'd do is just do a bit of an update on news across the league before we kick. I'm not sure what I'm going to do tomorrow's show yet. We're still working on that. And then we'll get back into DFS-type previews, recaps of the daily action when the season actually kicks off. So, the big news across the NBA at this point that's non-bubble related is, of course, the New York Knicks have a new head coach. When that news came out, plenty of people tagged me in the news on Twitter, so I appreciate that. Wanted to know my thoughts on, well, here's my thoughts on the New York Knicks hiring Tom Thibodeau. It's not the worst choice. The worst choice, actually, I don't even know what the worst choice was. Is the worst choice Mark Jackson? Is it Jason Kidd? It's probably Jason Kidd because he was at least considered a realistic possibility. He's a trash coach and he was not getting them Giannis Antetokounmpo. Tom Thibodeau is a hire. He is going to cause problems with that team, undoubtedly. He causes problems with every team that he goes to through nonsense rotations, through an outdated defensive scheme, through an offensive scheme, which is actually not that good either in terms of being really low in three-point attempts. He's going to rub people up again the wrong way. Now, half of his failures in Minnesota were personnel related. Bad trades and poor signings. But it wasn't just limited to that. We know that he doesn't like playing rookies. But after rookies, they're fine. So it doesn't mean the end for RJ Barrett. It doesn't mean that your mate Mitchie Robinson won't take it from here.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
But what he does love is veterans and players that he used to play with. So Taj Gibson's already on that roster. That, I guess, is the worry with Mitchie Robinson, is how much is Thibodeau going to play Taj? I don't think we look at RJ Barrett and go, well, he's going to play 20 minutes now. But I worry that Tibbs might decide, well, I want to bring in Jeff Teague to be my point guard. Do I put pressure on the front office to trade for Derrick Rose to come in again? He's very much a win-now coach on a team that is nowhere even close to being a win-now team. He has made players better. Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler developed those guys well. They also did nothing in their first couple of seasons. Butler barely even played, didn't even see the court for his first couple of seasons, and then really did develop. How much of that is on Jimmy, how much of that on Tibbs, I don't know. But this is a guy who's got a reputation as being this great defensive coach, yet was absolute trash as a coach in Minnesota. And you can say that's because the players are lazy, which is bullshit, or not good defenders, which is true. But if you're banking your reputation on he is the defensive coach and they finished 27th in the NBA in defense, then you're not that good of a defensive coach. Now, on the flip side to that, they were fourth in offense the last full season Minnesota that he coached them. But 227 finishes in defense is not going to cut it. That last year for Minnesota, the problem I have with his offense is not that it wasn't good, because it was pretty strong, but 30th in three-pointers made, 30th in three-pointers attempted, number one in two-pointers made. It's just not a good combination. And that was with Jimmy Butler driving the offense. So they had part of the reason their offense was so good was their free throw attempt rate was really, really high. So there are absolute concerns there. Now, he goes to a Knicks team that's not a good three-point shooting team. He doesn't appear like he is going to emphasize it at all. He never really has been. His last season in Chicago, that was 16th in three-point attempts, which is middle of the pack, obviously, but not great. I just don't see what he's providing. Now, I think he could be okay as a coach, But even in those seasons in Minnesota where the offense was good, we can go back. I can go back and rewind to listen to podcasts that I talked about. The amount of times that Derrick Rose or Jeff Teague would just dribble the ball around and have the ball in their hands while almost literally one of the best offensive centers of all time, Karl Anthony Towns, is getting frozen out. When guys like Andrew Wiggins, whose play dropped off dramatically under Thibodeau, so we can talk about developing young guys, Wiggins went backwards in a huge degree. He just didn't get the ball in his hands. Not that he's a great player, but he didn't get the ball in his hands and he lost confidence completely. And this is part of the problem with Thibodeau. It might be, well, he gets wins and these soft cocks, they have to do more, and that's all fine. But when you have a player with talent who's developing and then you set them back so far that it's pretty much unrecoverable from with Wiggins, that's a concern. What's he going to do with Barrett? Not to say that they're the same player or their statistical profiles are pretty similar. How's things going to go with Robinson? I actually don't really have too much worry with Robinson outside of Taj Gibson. I think he's going to play pretty well under Thibs. What happens with what they draft here? They get a top three pick. Like, how much is Thibodeau going to run that guy? How much is Killian Hayes going to play? LaMelo Ball going to play? Anthony Edwards going to play? Whichever direction they go in the draft, what is Thibs going to do with that guy? I just think that this is a guy that was a really good assistant coach for the Knicks, for the Celtics, a really good head coach for Chicago for the first few years, who has burned out his welcome in both places, absolutely screwed up a team in Minnesota. And let's not forget, he got them to the playoffs. He was also 10 games under 500 his first season before Jimmy Butler arrived. So was it Thibodeau or was it Butler? I don't know, it might be Butler. That's just me. And so many questionable things in terms of injuries and risk. And even if guys don't get injured, like Towns and Wiggins really didn't get injured that much playing under him, the fact that you're 20 points down and you're playing your guys for your 35, 37 minutes, it's negligent. It doesn't make any sense. So I am really curious how things are going to work in New York. They could be, again, a really low three-point shooting team with Thibodeau there. Can he turn any of these players into something good? Kevin Knox, Frank Ntilikina. He'll at least like Ntilikina's defense. But I just think that there were significantly better options that the Knicks could have gone with, whether that was Kenny Atkinson or not. And I don't give a shit. Oh, look at Atkinson. He's under 500 as a career coach. Oh, look at Thibodeau. He's over 500. That doesn't mean anything. It's literally why you should not judge coaches strictly by win-loss. It makes no sense to do that. I would much prefer Atkinson. I would prefer to give guys like Udoka, Adrian Griffin, Becky Hammon, anyone, try something different. Try a new coach. Try the guys like Budenholzer when he was in Atlanta, Taylor Jenkins, Atkinson when he went to the Nets. Find the assistant coach who can take you there. Not a guy whose defense used to be good 12 years ago. Yeah, back when he was an assistant, and that's why he got his first head coaching job. Not a guy that his defense has been exposed the last 3 years where he's been a coach, and now you're on a team that's got some iffy defensive prospects anyway, and how that's all going to work out. And I worry how much influence he has on team building, because that could be an absolute disaster for the Knicks. So it's not the worst news. It's not the worst decision they could make, but it's also not the best. So we'll see how that all pans out. If you want to see how something pans out, rockauto.com. What a terrible segue, but what a great company. Rockauto.com is the place where you can go to buy cheap car parts. You don't go to your local auto store, sit there. They don't even have the parts in stock. They've got to order it. Why don't you order it yourself? And don't worry about the price discrepancies, because you go to your local store. They have different prices for professionals and different prices for do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com, it's all the same, reliably low price for everybody right across the board. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. And whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks at rockauto.com. When you go to rockauto.com, you can see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when they have that box, how did you hear about us? Just go and write locked on there so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, so let's have a look now at teams that are actually playing in the league at the moment, and that is, of course, these bubble teams. We're going to just go through some notes, news and notes across the league here. The Brooklyn Nets are a shambles as expected. We haven't seen Jamal Crawford play yet for the Nets, which is interesting. We had Chris Chiozza start at point guard today. Caris LeVert taking a lot of shots. We had Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot start at the four over Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs, Janin Musa, Lance Thomas, So he's been a little bit outmatched, I think, Luau Cabro, but he's going to be a rotation piece. Jared Allen looks great. He had 19 and 10 today with two steals and two blocks. He's going to be one of the real stars, I think, of this restart. And LeVert is going to put up some really, really big numbers. We know that. He had another 23 points today. Chiozza is going to be an interesting guy to look at for DFS, especially if they give him the starting nod as the point guard on this team over, say, Tyler Johnson, who's been playing some solid minutes as a backup. And you think Kurox and Anderson will have some decent roles on this Nets team as they struggle for any sort of relevancy. For Boston, Kemba Walker is back. He only played a few minutes in the first scrimmage game, or his first scrimmage game, but it's good that he's out there. So they are basically at full strength now. Jason Tatum's been a little bit shaky in the scrimmages, but realistically, looking at this Celtics team, there's nothing major coming out of what we've seen here from this squad that makes us want to adjust our thoughts or drafting strategies or DFS strategies with this team. They seem pretty strong. I think they're still going to be easing Kemba in through the 8 regular season games, but everyone else should be a full go. For the Mavs, we've seen Doncic. He did have a trip to the locker room, but he appears okay. Trey Burke still hasn't made an appearance yet, but he won't be far off, while Michael Kidd-Gilchrist apparently is a bit longer in terms of how long he's going to be away. Now, he is not a guy that's probably going to be a rotation guy. We know Courtney Lee and Willie Cauley-Stein are already out for this team. Boba Marjanovic has been playing some decent minutes, 20 minutes a game. That's because Porzingis played only one game and played 15 minutes, because then he had a one-day quarantine for missing a test. But otherwise, it's pretty much business as usual. Seth Curry can't miss at the moment. 69% shooting.
Giggity!
So you're really, really strong. And Seth's going to be a huge piece as well. Well, also got some pretty good DeLon Wright minutes for the Dallas Mavericks in their scrimmage games so far. The Nuggets, has been a lot of interest there. And we talked about Bol Bol last week and talking about how, you know, the numbers are fine. He's getting a lot of playing time, but this Nuggets team doesn't have anyone there. Well, we saw today we had Jamal Murray, the headmaster, Ecce Homo. He was back in action. We saw Farton Will Barton return. We saw Michael Porter Jr. return. And therefore, consequently, we got the minutes for Bol to reduce. Only played the 20 minutes here, which is still a decent chunk. But no Gary Harris, no Monty Morris. That's because we had Jeremy Grant playing at small forward, only had 18 minutes of Barton, only 26 minutes of Murray. I think there is a chance that Bol plays in these 8 seeding games. It won't be more than 20 minutes a game. And I wouldn't expect the level of production he had in that first one. He still did have 10.6 rebounds in this game, shot 2 of 2 from 3, and nobody has ever questioned his shooting efficiency or his shooting form from 3. It's more the positioning, the defense, the slow movement. That's always the concern for Bol, but he's been impressive. Porter also dropped in 19 points in 20 minutes, Mickey Porter. He was a minus 21, so that's not ideal, and defense has been the thing that's kept him off the court pretty much this entire season. Again, he'll be just in that smaller sort of role. We're going to have Plumlee and Jokic and Grant and Millsap, leaving Porter and Bol to get the scraps there. Craig will jump in. It'll be between Craig and Porter between the last rotation minute spot eventually in the playoffs. But we will get some maybe elevated Porter minutes in some of these games and some elevated Bol minutes. But this is still not a full strength Nuggets team without Morris and Harris out there. And Troy Daniels, who went off in those first couple of games, basically already squeezed out of the rotation. Only the 6 minutes in this game for Troy Daniels. For the Houston Rockets, Jimmy Harden, he's going to play his 35, 36 minutes. He's got a lot of assists. He's just basically in regular season form, so that's great. Hopefully he can continue all that same level through the playoffs. Eric Gordon looks like he's going to start over Dan House. He's better than Daniel House. We know that. He's had massive struggles all season, Gordon, in terms of his shooting, so hopefully he can get that back on track. House will still play a decent amount of minutes. He played 32 minutes a night so far through the two scrimmage games, averaging 13 points and shot pretty well. But we know what he is. He's a guy that gets some steals. He's averaging 2.5 a game in the two scrimmages. He's going to hit some threes, and that's what he's going to do. But otherwise, Jeff Green's a rotation guy. Eric Gordon's in there. And then you're just going to have scraps coming off the bench. But nothing. I think Houston are going to go pretty tight for most of their rotation, even through these 8 regular season games. That's who we look at next. Indiana Pacers. Lots to talk about here. Victor Oladipo ruled himself out, and now he's in. He's playing, and he's putting up some pretty okay numbers. And I would be pretty surprised now if Oladipo didn't actually take part in these games. He played 24 minutes a night, 12 points, hit 3 threes. The shooting still wasn't fantastic, true shooting of under 55%. Only had 2 assists, 1 block through 2 games, no steals. which we know is a huge part of his fantasy value. I wouldn't be looking at him as anywhere draftable in the top 50 or anything like that in a restart format, but it looks like he's going to play. Unfortunately, their all-star from this year, Domantas Sabonis, has plantar fasciitis. He's going to miss a decent chunk of the regular season games, if not all of them, if not all of the playoffs. We just don't know at this point. So that is going to give some extra opportunities for Miles Turner, but don't get too excited. All right, Miles Turner, even in these games, 17% usage without Sabonis. He is just not going to come out and have 26 usage. It's just not going to happen. What he might do, and even then, I don't think it's much of a change, because you go look back at the last couple of games, the last 10 or so games before the season shut down, him and Sabonis were playing 34, 35 minutes a night anyway. So it's not like he's going to go from 28 minutes and start playing 35 minutes, because he was already doing that, Miles Turner. So it is, there's a risk there of overvaluing or overdrafting him because Sabonis is out, because it doesn't mean that he picks up all of the usage. What the Pacers did in the first game, or the last game, sorry, that Sabonis didn't play, TJ Warren shifted up to the four. We had Oladipo play with Aaron Holiday and Malcolm Brogdon, and I think they'll probably go that direction. They like Justin Holiday in that bench unit with TJ McConnell and Doug McDirt, so those guys will all stick in that bench unit. We haven't seen any of the Dart yet, Goga Badadze.
Problem with my Gogo-mobile. Gogo-mobile.
No, not the Dart. Not the Dart.
We've had Jakar Sampson getting center minutes, TJ Leaf getting center minutes. Surely we get a little bit of Goga at some point in these regular season games. But the big news there is Sabonis out and Oladipo, it looks like, is going to be in. For the Clippers, Lou Williams suspended after getting wings at a strip club. Sure, that's where he went to get dinner. No worries. Wings, are you ready for a controversial statement? Wings aren't that good. There's too much fiddling, too much gristle, too many bones. The flavor of them's nice. I much prefer a boneless wing. Oh, that's just a nugget. Who gives a shit? It's delicious. Boneless wings are definitely greater than wings. And going to a strip club to go get these wings, I don't know, why do we want to eat bones? It's too messy. I don't like the sauce on my hands. Lou, get your food from somewhere that's not a strip club and don't risk it all for wings of all foods. And if you disagree, hey, let me know your thoughts on chicken wings in the comments below or tweet at me, because I'm sure I'm going to be in a very, 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 very small minority there. But Williams is going to miss the first two of the regular season games. We also don't know about the table Montrezl Harrell and Landry Shamet, who've been dealing with personal issues and COVID diagnoses respectively. Ivica Zubac is back. Patrick Beverley has returned. He hasn't played yet, so they'll be ready to go for the beginning of the season. But we don't know about Harrell, and we don't know about Shamet. Paul George and Kawhi. Kawhi is struggling with his shot at the moment. George is looking pretty good, but the Clippers are going to be the team that takes this regular season the least seriously out of everybody, I feel. And you know, taking these guys, expecting massive, massive numbers, is probably going to be a fool's errand. If with Williams missing, Reggie Jackson steps up, Landry Shamet steps up, if he's ready to go, into more minutes, and then things will settle down as that rotation gets back to normal. For the Lakers, in their last game, which was today, they rested Davis, they rested LeBron, they rested Kyle Kuzma, Dwight Howard didn't play, so we got a lot of the bench guards. 27 minutes of Deion Waiters, who scored 18 points. 25 minutes of J.R. Smith, who scored 20 points. And let's look at J.R.'s game, because people will definitely Dutch right of this one. He shot 86% from three. He was 6 of 7. There were some ridiculous shots there. He is not a guy that is going to play this level or this many minutes. Again, four guys are out already. Four rotation players didn't play. Danny Green played 18 minutes. Markieff Morris played 6. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played 18. Deion Waiters, I think, can actually be a positive contributor for this Lakers team. I think he will fill in the Rondo-Bradley role, maybe even better than, well, definitely better than Rondo, and maybe even better than Avery Bradley. Crusoe will also step up, but I wouldn't be expecting J.R. Smith to have a massive role on this team by any stretch. And there'll be games, I think, where he doesn't even play. This was, though, on Monday, a really good performance. You're going to get Waiters getting the bulk, and maybe even Quinn Cook. Quinn Cook and J.R. Smith probably fighting for those last 10 or so minutes in the rotation, which is not really going to be too much of an impactful thing. For the Grizzlies, no Justice Winslow means Kyle Anderson will be your starting small forward. He's doing Kyle Anderson things. He's blocking shots. He's getting assists. He's averaging 15 points, 6 rebounds, with 2 blocks and half a steal with 2 threes in his 23 minutes. That's really, really good for fantasy. I don't think the 2 blocks is going to sustain, but he can block shots, he can get steals, he can get pass assists, he can score. Not much, but he can do a few things. He's at least worth to have a look at sort of a back-end pick. Valanciunas, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, they're all playing pretty strongly. Brandon Clark's doing his thing. Interestingly, Josh Jackson not really doing too much. And I thought with Winslow out, he'd get an opportunity. Only 12 minutes in one scrimmage game. Grayson Allen played in one of them. We got Melton and Jones doing their thing. Dylan Brooks, the struggles continue. 19% shooting. He had a six-week run of being really good, got a contract extension, and now has been trash for really the rest of his career. I still think he can be better than what he is, but I think he was a little bit overrated to begin this 19-20 season through the first couple of months because he has dropped off and dropped off hard, and he has looked pretty poor. I'm not saying he's going to lose his role, but he, when guys like Melton and Allen and even Jackson, if they can push, maybe they can take some of those minutes away from Dylan Brooks if he's continuing to struggle, which he is at the moment. For Miami, we saw some big minutes and big numbers for Tyler Hero. I wouldn't, again, get overly excited about that because we haven't really seen any Jimmy Butler yet. He played one game of 11 minutes. Hero averaged 29 minutes and 18 points across the two scrimmage games. Olynyk had some big games as well. He looks to have gotten the nod here over Myers Leonard. Leonard only played 13 minutes. Olynyk played 26, but that's still up in the air. Very limited Kendrick Nunn as well, one game for 18 minutes. Dragic played only 16 minutes, so it's really hard to extrapolate too much out here, but I wouldn't be expecting 29 minutes of Kendrick Nunn tonight. We've talked about this. If everyone's healthy, he doesn't play that much. Hero probably low 20s as well, as Butler ramps back up, as Dragic ramps back up, as we get Iguodala and Crowder and Jones and all those guys and Dunk Robinson in there. So don't overreact too much here to the big numbers that Tyler Hero put up would be my advice on Miami. On Milwaukee, really nothing to see. With Sterling Brown's looked okay in some backup minutes, but we know what this Bucks team is. They're going to be going pretty easy through most of it. Giannis dropped 30 points in 23 minutes today against the Pelicans, as you do. Just doing his usual ridiculous stuff. There was no Bledsoe today. Paddy Connaughton still dealing with his COVID-19 diagnosis. Not really too much to say about the Bucks. For the Pelicans, Zion has returned to the bubble. He'll be ready to go, I would imagine, for opening night. Alexander Walker has been playing pretty well, while Jackson Hayes is getting minutes over Jahlil Okafor. Now, I think that when things come into the real games, that neither of those guys will play much because you have Zion, you have Ingram, and you have Malley, and Favors, who's been really good again. That'll limit what those guys can do. But interestingly, Hayes over Okafor at this point. And New Orleans undefeated in the scrimmage games. I reckon they're going to make the playoffs. I reckon they get into the ninth spot and then beat Memphis twice in a row. The Orlando Magic. Markel Fultz made his return. Great news. Aaron Gordon had to sit out today's game with a groin issue. But the big news is John Isaac, one of my favorite players in the NBA. You all know this. He returned. He played 7 minutes. He had 13 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 steals in 7 minutes. That is an absolutely nonsense return. If he's playing that well, I think he's going to play in this regular season. He is going to be probably a top 30 player in fantasy next season, maybe higher. I think he can really be absolutely an all-star level player at some point in the future. You know I'm really high on him, and it's great to see him here. But these rotations have been a bit wacky because Fultz and Isaac have barely played. We had Gary Clark, the Comet. He started and played 35 minutes today and scored 17 points. So that's obviously a pretty weird one there. Carter Williams is going to lose out a little bit with Isaac returning. So is Ennis, and that's going to really push guys like Awundu way down the pecking order there for Orlando. But it is just great to have John Isaac back and playing. In Philadelphia, Ben Simmons coming in at power forward, averaging 9 assists per game. That's what I talked about. He's still going to get his assists. He's still going to have the ball. And he's still going to orchestrate things. That has obviously come to fruition. He took 2 threes in the first game and hit one of them. Didn't in the second game, but he still looks to be actually really, really good. No surprise there. Shake Milton, not a guy that I think is going to be worthwhile looking at as a fantasy option. He's going to bang in threes. He's hitting them at 44% again, but he does absolutely nothing else, and he's just not going to have the usage. While Embiid is dealing with a calf issue, it doesn't appear to be anything significant, so he'll be fine, ready to go. While Horford, I think's minutes are going to be really, really limited here in this restart, so I wouldn't even be considering him at this stage as a player that I would want to draft. For Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton hit some threes. Dario Saric dealing with an ankle injury. And I said this on the Suns preview part. I think Cam Johnson's going to play more than Saric considerably. But the big standout to me for Phoenix has been Mikal Bridges, who looks ridiculously good. There is no Kelly Oubre. I don't think we're going to get Kelly Oubre playing. But Bridges looks so, so good. He's going to be a star, I think, in this league. Or at least an underappreciated star and an absolute fantasy start at some point as well. I expect a bit of a breakout performance here from Mikal Bridges. For Portland, they started Yusuf Nurkic and Hassan Whiteside together. And the most important thing is Nurkic played 28 minutes. I think they do bring Whiteside off the bench, but they'll play together a little bit. Nurkic getting those minutes is really, really interesting. Now, Lillard is dealing with a foot injury. He missed the last game. He thinks he'll be fine, but that's always something worth looking at. While Gary Trent obviously getting the bulk of those minutes over Anthony Simons, he could be an interesting three-point option at the back end of drafts and for DFS. For Sacramento, the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. He's joined the team, he's practicing, so he should be ready to go for the restart. De'Aaron Fox is over his ankle injuries, but we haven't seen Alex Len or Rashawn Holmes play yet. We know Marvin Bagley's out for the entire restart. Holmes is going to get some minutes. Jesus, we would hope he's going to get a big chunk of minutes here, but Harry Giles has been pretty impressive, but Holmes is going to be that guy to look for. Well, if you're looking for a bit of a deep sleeper type guy, Daquan Jeffries has looked pretty good. Now, that's mainly because Barnes has been out, but we'll just watch for him maybe to get some rotation type minutes. For San Antonio, It's finally happened.
Yeah!
Derek White and DeJounte Murray starting together. And Derek White, guys, he's good.
Maximum Derek.
I couldn't have screamed this high enough that this guy is really good. He's showing it now again. He looks really good. Would I have him over DeJounte Murray? If they're starting and playing the same minutes, probably. As a draft option, it looks really good. Lonnie Walker getting starting minutes as DeMar DeRozan's playing at the four. Walker's really a score-only sort of a player. And the other big winner, I think, for San Antonio is Jakob Poeltl. Now, they are playing... You know, they don't have any centers. They've got him and Drew Eubanks, who's the backup at the moment. But Poeltl, 20 minutes a game, 10-9, 1.5 blocks, 77% shooting. You know what he's going to bring you. I think he's going to play more than 20 minutes a game as well. Give him 26, 27. He really is going to be a bit of a fantasy breakout guy. Eubanks also putting up some good numbers, including some blocks there. While Maximum Derek had 16.5 with 4.5 assists and 1.5 blocks and 1 steal and 2.5 threes. Massive stuff from Maximum Derek. Also look for Keldon Johnson to be a decent rotation player. Interestingly, Pat Mills hasn't played at all. I'm not sure they're even going to play him, to be honest. They're using him more in like a coaching sort of role, and that will give more minutes for Forbes and for Murray and Johnson and those sort of players. So that's something to at least watch out for. For Toronto, Pat McCaw is dealing with a recurring injury that Nick Nurse wouldn't specify, but that just means more minutes for Terrence Davis, who is so much better than Pat McCaw, it's not even funny. He looked great again today, Davis. The Raptors, I think, will go pretty easy through the regular season game, so Davis is going to get opportunities for DFS. They started Gasol and Ibaka together. We haven't seen much of Mark at this point.
Oh, hi, Mark.
As he eases himself back in, but it's just Siakam and Lowry and Powell just sort of going about their business. Mike Conley looks good for Utah. Emmanuel Mudiay looks to be getting those rotation minutes from Bojan Bogdanovic, while Mia Ernie and Rajon Tucker have also looked pretty okay. I think Tucker is a real X-factor opportunity here for Utah. It'd have to be like real minimum price DFS stuff, but just watch for him to get some rotation minutes. While Washington, how about my mate Isaac Bonga? He is just a player that wins basketball games somehow, or is a positive if the rest of his team wasn't shithouse. He played another 30 minutes today. He was a plus 5. The other starters, minus 12, minus 14, minus 19, minus 7. I'm not sure how it continues to be possible, but it is. 2 steals and a block, another 3 assists. He only scored 9 points, but he is an advanced stats darling who seems to always produce good stuff when he's on the court, and I think that he could be an absolute fantasy factor. Tom Bryant's not doing a huge amount, but you know, he played 26 minutes today, so that's encouraging. Hachimura had 19 points with nothing else. He is the most empty calories fantasy player almost in the league at the moment. While Troy Brown also looked okay out there, 12-8 with 3 assists in decent numbers. Low usage for Shabazz Napier. We've got Flaming Mo Wagner. He's getting those backup minutes behind Bryant, while Jan Mihinmi hasn't played yet, and Pasechnik's getting limited playing time. Jerome Robinson just chucking the absolute shit out of the ball. He is not in any way good at all. They should decline his fourth-year rookie option. He's going to get minutes here. He should not get minutes. He is not a good player at all. But on this Wizards team, they don't have a huge amount of good players. That'll do it. That'll wrap me up for today. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on the good old YouTube. Leave a comment down below. Tell me what you think about chicken wings. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.